Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I bought some Oatly for when
and
you were
14 oat milk.
Yeah, okay, fine. Well, that's because you used to drink Oatly, and so did I. And now I've changed my mind because milk is so much nicer than Oatly, which is disgusting.
And that vegan shit's really bad for you. And people. Yeah, it's tricky for vegans, but
I have not opened. I have not initialized a tub of Oatly for. I don't know what those were doing in the fridge. Thank you for throwing them away. Okay. Mm.
Yes.
Are we all square?
Hmm.
Upset that you did not even respond to my brilliant joke about Keir Starmer driving a Kia.
Oh yeah, yeah. True.
I want to write Keir Starmer a letter, who lives quite near to us, saying, "Dear Keir, it's about your Kia."
Dear Keir is already funny.
Exactly. It was. But I did it. We did it in a previous podcast.
What did we?
So I saw him driving around wearing his spectacles. With two hands on the wheel, 10-2. Very sensible manoeuvre.
I can imagine how Keir Starmer drives.
Yeah, he drives. He's a very sensible
man. Very careful driver. 20 miles an hour in the 20-mile-an-hour zone, like the only person in the world who does that.
He was, in fact, going down Gordon House Road, which is the 20-mile-out, very slowly.
Was he?
In his very clean Kia.
With his glasses on.
With his glasses on.
Huge man in a teeny, teeny car.
No. It was a medium-sized Kia. It wasn't a Kia Picanto.
Oh, I imagined him in this tiny, tiny thing.
No.
Like sort of Fred Flintstone with his head coming out of the top and his feet in the bottom.
No.
He was in Mark Kermode 50s
family,
haircut.
Yeah, he was in a family-sized Kia.
When was that?
Yesterday.
The actual day of his virtual conference at the Labour... I mean, virtual speech at the Labour conference.
Yeah, maybe...
You're not aware of that, are you? You see,
no,
in the
I don't
Kia...
Mean the Labour's all care.
What's his name? In the Kia Starmer world,
yeah.
I, as a political beast and a very important comment writer, am constantly... Keir made his virtual speech at the Labour conference. He had to do it. The stress, there was no audience. He had to say, "Labour is under new management," which made it sound like Bluston's gown shop down on the high street.
Yeah.
Clearly it was meant to. And it's all about, you know, you can trust us again and we're going to be patriotic and things. And you, meanwhile, saw him literally driving down the road and sent me a text saying, "Keir's got a Kia."
Yeah, but that's what I'm here for. The details. It's in the details. I am a natural gossip columnist. I only know about the funny shoes.
Capable of writing as many as 90 words.
As many as that. Well, I wrote 600 words this morning. No, I didn't. I wrote some of them last night. Anyway, whatever.
What were they about?
They were about how lockdown has made us all selfish and mad. But with the new lockdown, all anyone cares about. So we were really compassionate about other people during lockdown going, "Oh, it's okay for me because I've got a garden. It's okay for me because I've got a home office." And now these sort of new lockdown rules being mooted, everyone's just sitting around going, "Please not the gyms. Please not my Ocado order. Please not my seaside cottage." Do you know what I mean? So outwardly, we're all sort of compassionate, but inwardly, we only care going forward about the things that drove us mad about previous lockdown. So for example, I could do another lockdown again, easy peasy, no problem at all, as long as the children are at school. I wouldn't care about, you can have it all, but just, I need school to be open. Whereas for someone like my mum, she didn't care about anything, except she really, really wanted to browse the supermarket and talk to the checkout staff. That's the thing that she can't do without.
Right.
Weird,
and there's a beef for tea too.
Yeah.
For when?
Tomorrow. So it's fine. It'll have been
yesterday. All the time you could have been thinking of ideas for my column, you've been actually writing your own piece for the Times.
No, I've got plenty of ideas for you as well, actually. Okay.
On a positive note, this is the last podcast of the season.
Yay!
Or is it? Because one of my personal hells about lockdown and COVID responses is uncertainty. Not knowing, so shall we all go out for dinner tomorrow? Yes, but only if the restaurants are open, only if we're still allowed to have six people. I am supposed to be going to... Denmark to Copenhagen on Saturday night to film an episode of Amazing Hotels for BBC Two, which was interrupted by the first lockdown. And we've got two more we're going to make, and they've decided on Denmark and Norway because at the point of the planning a couple of months ago, those were places you could still broadly go. We could not go, as we had planned, to Italy and Rajasthan, so we're going there. So I've booked it in. I've taken, you know, the podcast has had 11 episodes. Normally we do 12, but we're thinking, there, fuck it, let's just end it here. I'm taking a week off my radio show, three columns off. I go to Denmark, and unless tomorrow, Thursday, which for listeners to the podcast will be yesterday, Thursday, so they will already know, but I don't know at this stage, they announced that Denmark is on the quarantine list. Denmark is the country with the highest R rate of countries not yet on the quarantine list, and its R rate is going up. So its R rate is not as bad as ours, but it still brings, and it, nor is it as bad as Italy or Spain, but it's getting close. And they thought it might end last Thursday. The possibility of going to Denmark. Now we don't know till tomorrow. So the crew who are already out there all have flights booked back on Friday morning, just in case they have to race out. The following Thursday, when I will be there, we've all got flights booked on the Friday morning, so we can all race out. If tomorrow they say you're not, we can't go, you know, Copenhagen's on the quarantine list, we won't go. Therefore, I'll be here next week. But
I won't. I'll be in Denmark.
Well, I just want to go wherever. Or you go wherever you were planning, whatever you were planning to do when I wasn't here, disappear, all your secret plans laid
waste. No, I was doing 9,000 school runs.
Yeah, and if I'm here, I've cancelled my podcast, cancelled my radio show, cancelled three clubs. I'm sitting with nothing to do. Used up all my holiday, can't go away for half term, won't be allowed to anyway. It's nightmarish. So by the time this goes out, we still won't know whether this is the last podcast, but I'm reckoning if we're here next week, Ben, we'll probably do another one.
No. Everyone's sick of us.
True.
I'm sick of the
family. Should we even do this one?
Well, I mean, we could, like, the last day of term, just watch a movie.
Yeah.
We just put something out. Okay, look, I do have a thing to talk about. I've got two things. There's not much in the papers. Neither of us have had much luck this week.
No, but as we well know, it's not the things of not being in the paper. It's a question of not being in the right frame of mind.
Well, I don't know, darling, because you say that, but we've stopped drinking. I haven't drunk, you know, I'm not drinking during the week. Neither are you.
No, nor am I.
So normally with a clear, sober head on, we can normally get it done. But
maybe we've got...
Well, look, I do have quite a fun thing for you today.
Right.
The Daily Mail, page 39, in their sort of diary thing. I can't remember what it's called.
I noticed that last week's scaffold noise has been replaced by the dull whine of an angle grinder.
Yeah, so it's angle grinder. But it actually doesn't really show up on the old... it doesn't really pick it up, so...
I can hear it.
I know you can hear it. Does it put you in an even worse
mood?
My
spidey senses.
Makes you want to hit the divorce button even harder. Okay, there's a story today in Sebastian Shakespeare, my old boss, Sebastian. Television historian Dan Snow admits his inspiration is Indiana Jones, the Hollywood hero played by Harrison Ford. I had a little Indiana Jones hat and I loved it. I took it everywhere. He hasn't actually made it clear when he had his little Indiana Jones hat. Did he have his little Indiana Jones hat last year? Or was it when he was 7?
I don't think AJP Taylor wanted it to be Indiana Jones. I don't think Gibbon, author of The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, wanted to be Indiana Jones.
Is AJP Taylor the one who nearly had a fight with Lennox Lewis? Or Michael...
No, it's not... No, that was A.J. Aird.
Oh, A.J. Aird. Of course, it's A.J. Peter.
This is one of my favourite... It's my sister's favourite, one of her favourite stories about the weird world in which celebrities come together who really shouldn't. Why do they know each other? And Freddie Aird, A.J. Aird, the great philosopher of the 20th century, Britain's greatest philosopher of the 20th century, apart from Bernard Russell, maybe, Bertrand Russell. So A.J. Aird's at a party in New York in the early 90s, and...
Chris Eubank.
No. Mike Tyson.
Oh, Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson is there. So it's a party, Upper East Side, champagne, probably Anna Wintour's house or something. Freddie Aird, the greatest philosopher of the day, and Mike Tyson at the party. And I believe Freddie Aird is talking to Mike Tyson's girlfriend. Would it have been Tyra Banks or Robin? There's a very famous actress. Anyway, he's talking to the girlfriend, and Tyson comes over and goes, "Hey, you're talking to my girlfriend." And AJ says, "Well, she's a charming lady, and I was just having a conversation." And he said, "I am the heavyweight champion of the world. If you don't step away from my girlfriend, I'm going to beat you to a fucking pulp, man." And AJ said, "Well, I am Regius Professor in Philosophy at the University of California. We are both preeminent in our position. I suggest we go outside and discuss this like gentlemen."
And did they? Don't know what happened
no,
next.
No, I don't know. AJ probably trashed him.
Probably. Great story.
I didn't have time to get my Mike Tyson accent.
It was fine.
Going well. I would think whatever Chris Eubank, when actually what was required with the Mike Tyson. I can like my Chris Eubank is amazing. In fact, Chris Eubank probably only talks like that because that means that everybody can do an impression of him and he stays in the public eye even when he stopped wearing strap suits and being
Chris,
a boxer.
Chris Eubank was also a boxer, wasn't he?
Chris Eubank was also a boxer. He was also a boxer with a lisp. It's not surprising. Quite a lot of boxers have lisps because they get smacked in the mouth so much. And Chris Eubank, is a very elegant man, a very, very, very clever man. I met Chris Eubank once.
Is he nice?
Chris Eubank, very, very nice man, yes. Very excellent man.
Impression in front of him?
Hello, child. It's Chris Eubank here.
It's like the impossibility of talking to anyone South African without starting. And was it, how was it this morning? Was it fine or was it not fine?
We're all really struggling because our kids, Sam's new teacher is South African.
She's from Zimbabwe. But it's very, very
but
hard.
But every time she says, Sam says, Miss said that I have to remember my football boots tomorrow. And you go, oh, did she say it's
did
really...
Did she say it like this?
Did she say it's...
Did she say, Sam, can you remember your football boots? Anyway, no, let's stop doing that.
So anyway, I was doing Chris Eubank here, but really... Mike Tyson had a really high voice and I could use a lift. No, how did he talk? I don't know. Anyway.
I'd be able to do it if I heard it. But
also, I got to the bit of the joke where AJ Ayer had to say, and I am Regis Professor, and I couldn't remember what he was. So I had to make up. He wasn't at the University of California. It was.
You see, this is why comedians practice their routines. We just have to do it off the cuff and it's much harder. Okay, so now this story, so the Dan Snow story, just circling back to the Dan Snow story, I thought maybe a funny column would be... all of the famous people you believe yourself to be as you're going about your daily life. Like whenever I mean, this is quite niche, but there's an 80s film called Outrageous Fortune starring Bette Midler and Shelley Long. And Shelley Long...
Do you know where the title comes from?
Slings and Arrows are at Hamlet. Oh, yeah. So Hamlet...
Is it about Shakespeare?
So yeah, they're actresses. Oh. And there's one is a kind of Bette Midler is a kind of brassy, sassy New York actress, and Shelley Long is a very refined actress. She can, you know, she does
niche, too niche.
Yeah, but can too I just finish my story?
Okay, fine.
Because someone may have seen Outrageous Fortune, and it's a niche movie, and they'll enjoy it.
I think Bette Midler's quite a big fan of the podcast.
She should be. Me and Bette Midler would be such good friends if we met. Okay, so Bette Midler is this kind of brassy New York actress, and Shelley Long is a very refined actress, and she can do accents, and she can fence. And she does ballet. And at the end of the film, she executes this amazing ballet jump, which saves the world. This kind of huge balletic leap she does across a ravine. And then she turns around and she shouts, 9 years of ballet, asshole! Like that. And sometimes when I sort of pull off something, I imagine myself as Shelley Long making that balletic jump over the ravine, and in my head I always say, 9 years of ballet, asshole. And there are certain films that you know very well. Our generation does.
I don't live in the world. I live in New York fucking city.
So go fuck yourself. Film.
Big swig of Diet Coke.
Yeah, exactly. So that is...
The Paper.
The Paper. Michael Sheen in...
Michael Keaton. Michael Sheen can go fuck himself. Michael Sheen was probably offered the job. He was too busy carrying a cross up to put on, but to show sympathy with the miners. Michael fucking Sheen, that's not an actor. That's a fucking Jeremy Corbyn in silly trousers.
He is more of an impersonator than an actor, it's true.
Michael Keaton, yes. So
our generation does know quite a lot of films off by heart because there weren't so many to choose from when we were little. So
if Ben's going to keep it all in from where you originally said there might be a column about Dan Snow thinking he's... I'm recapping in case people have forgotten what it was
about. Falling asleep. Slipped into a coma.
I run upstairs?
Yeah.
I still think I'm Daley Thompson. Because in the 1980 Moscow Olympics, when I was obsessed with Daley Thompson, who was the great decathlete and breaking all the records, I used to sprint up the stairs in my old house in Cricklewood.
Yeah.
And I would hear Daley Thompson going for that. And they were like, two flights of nine and one of four. And it was like, how fast can I do it? And I still now, if I'm suddenly running upstairs to get Sam's reading book related to school, as I take off to try and, I'm wondering, how fast is this, am I going up these stairs? Would Daley Thompson be going faster? Daley's about 64 now. Probably I'm faster than Daley Thompson now. You know, is this quicker than I used to do it when I was nine? And there is absolutely that. So I also have the thing, if I can, if you know, I try and throw a tennis ball to hit a jam jar. If I make this shot, there won't be a nuclear war.
Right.
Did you ever used to have that?
No, I didn't. But that's a, Ben, you're going to have to help me. That very funny Glaswegian comedian, is he Kevin
Bridges?
Kevin Bridges has an amazing riff on that. That's a boy thing, I think. It's not a thing that girls really does really. But that's so that's good. But also, you also
if
have
I brush
a,
my hair really nicely.
But you also have a Rocky thing, don't you? I mean, don't tell me when you're going for a run. You're not like bam 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 bam.
Okay. So I do have a Rocky thing when I go for a run.
Yeah. How
That's
about
because
how
the
about
first
Butch?
Run in Rocky, if you bring it up, I'm going to tell you about it.
Yes.
The first run in the first Rocky movie, when he's not really very fit at all, and he's a bit of a has-been, he gets this crack at Apollo Creed, the heavyweight championship of the world. It's going to be it's Apollo Creed versus the Italian Stallion. Sounds like a damn monster movie. and he's in his this crappy old stained grey two-piece trackie with black Converse, which people used to run in. Then when he drinks six eggs in the pint glass. Anyway, he goes off for a run in the dawn, in the early morning, and it's too early. They don't even do bam, bam, ba, ba, bam, ba, ba, bam, ba, ba, until later. I'll tell you when they do that. And he sets off, and he flexes it. He wriggles his neck from side to side, which I'm doing now. And he sort of wings his arms a little bit, and he sets off really, really slowly. And by the end of the film, obviously, he's going to be running up the steps at the Philadelphia Public Library.
Yep.
And they're all, you know, and by Rocky 2, he's going to be running up those steps with the whole town running with him, Rocky. But in the first one, he sets off in the, and his breath condenses as he sets off. And because I'm basically, however much I run, I'm only ever as fit as Rocky was when he was a fat loser at the beginning of the first film. I always think of Rocky, always, yep, as I set off. And then I wait until I'm halfway up College Lane, just past the housing estate, before I flick the switch on my iPad and it goes bam, 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 which is how I always start.
Mm-hmm. But you also have a Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid thing, don't you?
Can I move? I'm better when I move. That one, yeah. No, it's true.
So I think...
But that's key. That one with Sundance, that is like, you think I'm Clark Kent, but I'm Superman. Mm. So the whole point when he's getting recruited by the guy to guard the payroll... I'm not mad, I'm colourful. When you're out here a long time, you get colourful. Power, shot dead, shame. But he wants to shoot the... what is it? He has to shoot the coin on the ground or whatever it is, and just to see if he can shoot. And the guy doesn't know he's the Sundance Kid. And then he says, can I move? And then he moves and he draws and he hits it. He says, I'm better when I move. It's like early in the film when he says, you didn't know, when the guy accused him of cheating at the card game. And Paul Newman says, well, I can't help you, Sundance. And the guy says, you're the Sundance Kid? I didn't know you were the Sundance Kid when I said you were cheating. If I draw on you, you'll probably kill me. There's that possibility. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, that's...
You probably don't have as much of a thing about the Sting as I do.
No.
But anyway, there are lots and lots of, times in your moments in your day and in your life when you, like Dan Snow, probably...
You know. Actually, whenever I'm packing, I think I'm Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Because in that first film with Damien Lillard, he goes, mm-hmm, besides, you know what a cautious guy I am. And he chucks his gun into
cautious
the suitcase.
Fella.
Cautious fella I am, is it?
Yeah.
And he chucks the gun into the suitcase. It's also got that wonderful thing when he packs the whip.
Yeah.
And you think, why is he packing a whip?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that would be incredibly...
When I pack for Denmark tomorrow, I'm probably going to put my whip in the suitcase.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So here's some things that I think we could try. I think there is a way of doing the curfew, doing the new rules.
Yeah. Okay. Go on.
So I mean, there is an intro about first the rule of six, now the 10 p.m. closure. They are basically enforcing rules to make everybody's life like mine.
Mm.
What?
Hillary Rose has done that in T2 today. This 10 p.m. curfew is a fogey's charter. Hooray.
Fuck you, Hilary Rose.
Yeah, it's dinner at 7.
And the fucking horse you rode in on. Fucking hell.
But thank you, Esther, for pointing this out. So
oh, there's been another
nobody,
column they'd have had to not publish.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Okay, I've got a... Okay, I'm not going to... That's a shit idea. I don't know why they let Hillary write about it. So, the other thing is, I think it's like the crapness of half measures. This thing of shutting the pubs at... I mean, everyone would have written about this, but
right.
Shutting the pubs at 10 o'clock. Obviously, people are saying this is bullshit. People just go home to each other's houses and spread it more.
Yeah.
It seems really... He's trying to do something, but... So, half measures, really rubbish. Trying to make things slightly worse by shutting them at 10 o'clock. Other half measures you could do. For example, no more pints, only half pints.
Then
you won't be... Although, interestingly, the French house... Did we talk about this last week? The French house...
They started doing pints.
Which is the famous pub in Soho, which has only ever served half pints, has started doing pints, so you have to go to the bar less frequently.
Mm.
Enter the 8-pint glass.
Right.
But anyway, so other things. You can have fish but no chips.
I went to buy my little car. I went to buy my car at Car Giant, but I couldn't take it for a test drive. So I had to take it home to find out that it's like a lawnmower. But it's fine. It's small. It'll do.
That did strike me as a...
That is a genuine stupid half measure, isn't it? You know, why can't I take it? I mean, seriously.
But what I love is that you bought the car anyway.
Yeah, because they've got a returns policy.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it was very busy. There were lots of people buying cars having not test driven them. Because, like, very few people actually care how a car drives, which explains why there are so many Toyota Aygo owners around. Because I thought, oh, I'll get a Toyota Aygo because they're so popular. And then I drove mine around. And I was like, right. So people don't care how cars drive.
But you bought it all the way home. And you came in and I said, you know, this is the first time you've ever bought a car. And I didn't get involved. And you bought your Toyota Aygo, regardless of what I thought.
Yeah.
And you came back. And I said, how is it? And does it drive like it? And you said, it drives like a hairdryer.
Yeah.
And I said, are you going to take it back? Because you had this 2-day returns window. And you said, no. And because you couldn't face the drive back in the fucking hairdryer. So they buy this car, admittedly cheap. What was it, 5,000 quid? Less than 5,000 quid. But they've sold you a car so shit, you can't face the drive back to return it.
No. I love my Aygo.
I mean, there's a column.
If you don't get the clutch quite right, it does make a really funny smell. But apart from that, it's brilliant.
But I love that you were complaining about this. You said it doesn't reverse up hills.
And
I'm thinking, it's you that doesn't reverse up hills.
I know, it's true.
And the fact that you've been complaining, unless you get the clutch completely right, it smells. Because this is because you went out to buy the car instead of driving cars that I've bought. You've bought a car that actually has to be driven. Whereas most of the cars that we own, the I-Pace. To be fair, we've got the Land Rover. You really have to fucking drive it.
Yeah.
But a Toyota Aygo is three sheets of metal and a Magimix in the
it
bonnet.
It is. Yeah.
And then you really have to fucking drive it.
Yeah.
It won't. It's got that. I mean, I got in to get. Doesn't reverse uphill to go and try.
When I first turned the ignition on in front of you, you literally laughed out loud when you heard the engine.
And bear in mind that I'm the owner of an electric car, so I'm used to a car that doesn't even make any noise when you turn it on.
Yeah.
The sound of the air conditioning coming on in my electric Jag is more thrilling than the noise of your engine turning over in that Aygo.
Yeah.
You turn and it went, and it's got those seats which.
What, my seats in my Aygo?
The seats in the Aygo.
Yeah. That smell just like old sweat and rain. I love it. I love it because it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
But it's like sitting on a cardboard box and you
sit there brilliant.
With this steering wheel in your, this sort of hard, shiny little steering wheel in your hand.
It's only like London.
One of the cars I used to make out of. Old fridge boxes, cardboard boxes for the kids when they were like just cut it with a bread knife and draw headlights on the front of it.
Exactly. I don't understand how the headlights
work. Car on it. Just let people be in any doubt of what it was.
Car one.
Literally, if they hadn't written car on the side of your Aygo, you'd have literally
thought Melissa,
it was a kettle.
Melissa said it looked like a baby's...
What?
Melissa said it looked like a baby's trainer.
And particularly because you bought a red one.
And Mary said it looked like a freshly painted fingernail.
And you bought this red car, and he said it'd be really good because I can see it in car parks.
Yeah, it is. But there are so many other red Aygos.
And in our road, though, there's all these kind of sort of black and grey people carriers. And then a little red Aygo, which looks like someone's just left an apple by the side of the road.
And then a little shiny blue up.
But
as
then
well.
It's got this hilarious clutch because the clutch is just a rubber band that connects. What is like a Bic biro that they've used to make a bet, which connects it to the clutch plate and the engine, and So I went to see about, I'll go and take it around the block to see about this reverse wind, and turned it on, it went. And then you go to take off, but the biting point is so high and so springy and so brief that you're sitting, you're going, my foot is coming up and up and up, thinking, does it even have a, suddenly poing straight through the car in front. There's no window in the car.
No.
Also, and also, my old Fiesta was a bit like that, but you with your classic...
don't say ladies or women.
I wasn't. I nearly, and I didn't have to say. With your classic riding of the clutch, wore it down,
right,
which you will eventually do with the Aygo, until you then get about 6 months where there's quite a long depression
before
in the thing
breaks.
Before it goes ka-doink, and I have to go and get a new clutch for the car. But they say, unfortunately, they're not making the Aygo anymore, but we can take a clutch off this toaster and then put it into to your Aygo. No, I drove it around the block. It's really thrilling when you put it into second gear, isn't it?
Yeah,
you get
great.
The revs up to about 4,000 in first gear, put it into second,
yeah,
and it just stops.
But I just find that you can drive it basically everywhere in second gear.
It's Are you allowed to drive it on the motorway, or is it like a Robin and, Reliant?
You know, you can drive it on
it's
the motorway.
It's the kind of car that 93-year-old ladies and men are found driving the wrong way on the M40 in, because it's really only legal to be driven around their garden, but somehow they slip out of the back gate and end up on the M40 going the wrong way. I was going to see the Queen.
Oh, well, that's...
So that's a column about your car. Now, really, there's a fun column by you. But they didn't want it.
They turned it down.
So I could write... How am I going to write a non-sexist column about my wife's purchase of the shit car? My wife finally went to buy a car on her own just at the window post-lockdown where they're not allowed to let you have a test drive.
Yeah. Well...
If you'd test-driven it, what would you have done?
I would have bought it.
Would you have bought it? You'd have haggled them down to $3,000, though.
It was basically the cheapest Aygo in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's certainly not a Wego, is it? Because if there's two of you, it doesn't.
The Twingo.
Doesn't actually move. Is that a thing?
A Twingo, yeah.
But also, you bought this car weirdly because.
Lots of people. I really, really, really don't like driving a big. Okay, the Jaguar I-Pace is not a massive car, but it's quite a big car, and it's brand new, and it's very shiny.
And it's
and
an
I
SUV.
Do not
and you have
to
a thing. You bought the car
it.
For, I would say, because you. Hate people in Land Rovers, in big SUVs.
Yeah.
You think they hate you. So you bought a car which you think will make you popular with strangers on the school
run. No, that's not correct. I do not feel... big cars, being in a big car, with the exception of the Defender, being in a big car...
Makes you feel like a big, rich, important man.
It does quite the opposite. It makes me feel very, very... insecure. Do you know what? Mostly because I'm really worried about scraping it or dinging it or getting into any kind. The Aygo, I couldn't care. I mean, I don't scrape any cars. I don't bump or scrape or do anything wrong with any
car. No, but
I never
do.
Have.
So what an irony that I should be driving the expensive car around scratching it on things.
I know. Look, it's weird. I don't know. Maybe one day if we go back to our shrinks, we can get to the bottom of it. But
if you do want to take the Aygo back to the shop, I can always stick it in the boot of the Jag.
You could. No. I love my Aygo because I just feel much, much more confident in a small car. I just do. I don't know why. Because you can squeeze in places and you can park in. You've got more options. And I don't care if I bonk it.
Also, I suppose if I take it out, you know, on my own, if I go out on my own, I should take your car on the basis of your inverse proportionality penis theory. Which was, I hope, borne out by on our fourth date when I picked you up in the Ford Fiesta. The smaller the car, the bigger the penis. The thing is, my Jag is quite large. So if people were going to make assumptions about my penis, I would say the Jag is quite large, but it is electric.
Exactly.
And then I wonder what would that say?
I don't know. It's a whole new my sort of teenage or 20s theories about penises and cars has just been flipped on its head with the invention of an electric car.
It is. I've got a small penis, but it is battery operated.
Exactly. But what if you're an electric whiz? I mean, Jesus Christ! Look out, girls.
It's a huge. That basically means I carry a vibrator.
Yeah.
In my suit pocket. Now, look, if that doesn't make a column, I tell you what does, and it's great, is the news in the paper today. No, Monday. No, Tuesday. I'll pretend it was actually Monday, but I'm saying Tuesday so it doesn't sound too old.
Right.
No, it was Tuesday. Respect to Prince Charles, and he said his thing about how terrifying global warming is. He says, it's been pretty scary for years. I didn't know people haven't woken up with it. But this headline in the Times, Charles stars on his green TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
The Prince of Wales has launched an online TV channel to promote inspiring solutions to help the world move to a more sustainable future. RETV is a visual platform for short films and blah, blah, blah. Charles, who will be the channel's curator, appeared at the opening ceremony of the Climate Week NYC Summit.
This is just Charles's annoying letters in the modern age.
Prince Charles's TV channel.
Okay.
Here is the schedule for today.
Okay, yep.
So you see, see what I'm saying?
Yep.
This is just... And now I just need to know the shows. And
the correct way to touch your cuffs when you're not sure what to do with your hands.
But yes, but it's
signet rings through the ages. You've got to make a list of all the things that the royals are really, really keen on.
No, so, or you've got to look at the TV schedule.
Carriage driving. Yeah. Carriage driving.
Top Gear, in today's show, my father has another crash on a...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that crashed with that car, didn't he? So you do that. Carriage driving.
Oh, yes, exactly. No, I'm sorry, I'm just going to the TV schedule. David fucking Attenborough. Is no one ever going to... Ooh, Danny Dyer on Harold Pinter.
Oh, I really want to watch that. I love
yeah,
Danny
but let
Dyer.
Me... Oh, God! I've just found the best joke in the history of the world. Sorry, on Prince Charles's... Oh, God! The comedy genius. Sorry. So I'm just
this
opening...
Be funny.
I'm opening the TV schedules to find... 7 o'clock, BBC One. The One Show. How could it be pretty anybody but there's one. Welcome to One's Show.
One's Show.
Right. Oh no, you'd call it one. The One Show rebranded as One's Show.
One's Show.
Yes,
oh, very.
That's a joke. Yeah. Hang on. One Show becomes
One's Show.
That's probably in the intro. You go a TV channel in which the One Show becomes One's Show. That's enough of a laugh. You have top laugh. As Keith Waterhouse said, make a good joke in the first paragraph and run like fuck for the finish.
I would also like to say cheerio, everybody, because this is the last you'll hear from me for a while, and it's been wonderful. And I'm going to say bye bye now. You can find me, with any luck, in the feature section of the Times newspapers going forward, or on my excellent blog on thespike.com. I wonder how much of that Ben's going to leave.
He'll leave it in. You can't just plug things that are on in the Times, like my columns every fucking day in the Times, and also my radio show every Friday 1 till 4 p.m. So that's it. That's it from us until January.
Yep. Goodbye for me.
Unless
Merry Christmas, if it happens.
Unless they bring in a quarantine in Denmark, I don't go to Copenhagen. Then I'm around next week. Would we do one on the third circuit, Ben?
No.
Are we just going to end it here?
No. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Ben is indicating. He's shrugging, indicating nobody's.
Well, what with your time not being taken up with?
Right. I'm going.
You'll
I'm
be
not,
able to
no, I'm not
go back
more,
to
I'm not
your husband dinner from fresh food.
I'm not
putting something on the table when he comes in from work.
Pass
out, dickhead. Yeah, and Merry Christmas to everyone. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We're available on Acast, Spotify, Apple and more. To find out what I wrote about in the end, read The Times on Saturday. There's a link in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, tune in to my new radio show on the all-new Times radio station on Fridays from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.